Hello and welcome to Yomp Yarns, your Qataran Yomp podcast. The Qataran Yomp is a 54-mile walk in 24 hours. People sign up as individuals or in teams to walk the route through the Scottish Highlands, all in support of ABF the Soldiers charity. We'll be releasing podcasts recorded from live video streams in the run-up to the event in June. These will cover everything you need to prepare for taking on the Yomp, such as training, foot care, what to expect in the day, and the charity itself. So grab a cup of tea, a tonics bar, and settle in. So hello everyone, and welcome to our second talk, this time on feet. A subject that is, I'm sure you're all very keen about, all we've got discussions about. Just for anyone who doesn't know me, hi, I'm Amy. I'm the current Yomp manager. I've been taken over from Becky about a month and a half ago. Just a few housekeeping things. Please make sure you are muted the whole time. We don't want to miss anything that Gillian says. And just to reiterate as well, this Yomp Q&A will be purely about feet. We will be doing a Q&A on logistics in about the 15th of May, kind of mid-May. So any questions you have, make sure you store them up for then. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Gillian.
Hello. Hi, I'm Gillian.
Hi, Gillian.
Hi, yeah. I've obviously just been asked to come along tonight to talk to you about feet. So I think Amy's going to ask me some questions and I will try to ask them to my best ability. If there's anything I've missed out, I'm sure if you contact Amy or put a post up on Facebook, we can sort it out after, at the end sort of thing. Okay.
Thank you. So what's your background, Gillian?
I've been a podiatrist now for 29 years, worked with the NHS up until July last year, and now working privately, my sins. just things have changed, as has a lot of people's lives in the last couple of years. And so I got involved with Yomp back in 2013, went up as a support team member for my aunt and uncle who were walking it. And let's just say I got hooked in a whole different way from those of you that walk it all the time. I was there, as I say, just a support team member, ended up plastering and patching up lots and lots of blisters, and then the following year organised a team of podiatrists, the pod squad, to come and help out. So that's how we began, and it was quite crazy and quite busy. Unfortunately, for the last couple of years, obviously things have changed and we won't be there this year just because of logistics. So, and me trying to organise stuff. So if this helps people be organised themselves beforehand, then great. And hopefully we'll need to find medical intervention for feet. So,
yeah, you'll be sorely missed this year, but we all appreciate you giving up your time on a Sunday to go through, pass on as much of your limitless knowledge as possible. So let's crack on. So before the Yomp, so we've got eight and a half weeks left until the actual event. What would you be doing now? What would you advise people to be doing between now and June?
Boots. Just wear them as much as you possibly can. You wear them going shopping. Don't just keep them for your training walks. Use them as much as possible. You know, you're going out with a dog, use them for the dog walks. Doesn't have to be a long walk for breaking them in. The little short walks that really help break them in as well. Use your socks that you've spent money on. Like, you know, just don't keep them for special occasions. Just use them all the time. The more they're broken in, the more comfortable they're going to be, much more aware of what the problem areas might be with them. So things like boots, obviously, as I'm saying, just wear the thing. And also be aware of lacing. Like, you know, when you get a boot, it's not just about lacing them up how they come. Like if you have a wider forefoot, like, and your little toes get rubbed, you can lace your boots to give you a bit more width in the front. Also, I share all the time a video of heel lock technique, and that just stops your heel slipping. So I'll just show, like, look, where most of us, I don't know if you can see, would tie a boot off up the top, actually where you should be tying it off is in the middle, because then that secures around your ankle. So in holding your heel back, obviously in the heel, and then stops your foot sliding forward, which is why you get bashed toenails and stuff like that. So, and basically just keep an eye on the inside of your boots as well. Don't look on the outside thinking the thing. If you look at the insoles, look for wear patterns on the insoles. So take the insole out. I've done this one. You have to excuse the mess. And you can see from this insole that this area here gets a lot of wear. Take the insole out. It tells you volumes. Like, you know, people forget that, but it also shows you bits you've worn right through as well. Because if it wears right, is worn right through, it's going to start giving you problems. So make sure they're in the best condition possible. Sort of things like socks, check socks that, I've just got a couple of pairs here. And this is what I was saying to people to have them there. The inside of socks are full of tiny little threads. So quite often, if you look at, you'd be shocked at how many little loose threads there are, how the toe seams are like, can be quite rough, or there's like a little knobbly end. If you've got socks like this, but you like them, but you know these bits catch, wear them inside out. Simple tip. So, you know, the other thing is, if you've got corns, calluses, thickened toenails, anything giving you bother on your feet, go and see a podiatrist. You're an HCPC registered podiatrist, will sort out those things well before the time. You know, it's probably good money spent. It, you know, tell them what you're doing as well. They'll give you hints and tips too on, you know, ways to put on dressings to help toes or whatever. But it's definitely get these things dealt with before the yomp. The amount of times we've gone up on the Friday night and somebody's come in with an ingrown toenail or a really, really thickened toenail that's going to cause some problem as well. Address all the problems before you go up for the yomp. Like, you've got 9 weeks, get them sorted is what I would say. So yeah, and definitely cut your toenails, please.
On that note, how long before the yomp should people be cutting their toenails?
Probably about a week to 10 days. It shouldn't really be on the night before, because if, goodness, you know, if you did cut it a little bit too short and it's a little bit tender, at least you've got a week or 10 days. I was kind of say, basically, do all your tidying up stuff, like before you have your rest period, before you make your journey up sort of thing. Don't, on the Thursday, Friday night isn't the time you should really be cutting your toenails. So, you know, a week to 10 days beforehand. So just in case there's any issues, you can get them solved. But...
great. And some of our other long distance walks, a lot of our fundraisers are a fan of having a pedicure kind of about a week before. Is that something you would advise?
Yeah, just, that's it. Like, yeah, just get either the nails trimmed up and tidied about a week before. So yeah, or go and see a podiatrist, or, you know, I would be saying see one just now if you've got issues. But if, like, yeah, if you're the week before is the time to go and get anything tidied up and treated before, not the day before. So not the Friday night before, which is often what we were doing.
Definitely not the Friday night. Great. So everyone's been training, you know, they've got their boots worn in, laced properly, their insoles are all checked, their feet have been looked at and tidied up a week before. It's now the yomp. You're standing on the start line. What should people be looking out for as they're walking around?
So obviously they want to make sure that, you know, their boots feel comfortable and stuff like that. If they start to feel loose or slack, stop, you know, relace your boots, make sure socks are fitting proper, you know, like haven't got wrinkles in them and stuff like that. You know, it's about making sure the surfaces on your feet are as smooth as possible. So socks are nice and smooth and fitting properly, boots are laced properly and tight. And when you're walking around, the other thing is empty out your boots, make sure there's no little stones in there. Just, you know, run your foot inside, just check everywhere inside. But yeah, it's when you're out, if you start to feel a burning sensation, which is a hot spot, like is how it's described, is stop and deal with it when you feel it. Because if you can deal with it at the point that you start to feel it, hopefully it shouldn't go too bad. You know, so it's about taking 5 minutes, just saying to your team, like, sorry guys, I'm going to have to stop, my foot's sore, let me sort this out and then we can move on, rather than thinking, oh, it'll be okay until I get to 14 miles or 22. It won't be, like, it's only going to get progressively worse. So if you can stop it when things just start and deal with it, it's possibly going to save you a lot of pain and discomfort further down the line. So, and maybe having to drop out, and, you know, so it is about dealing with things as soon as you feel them, not waiting. So.
And if someone does start to feel a hot spot, what should they, how should they deal with it?
So I would say the best way to deal with a hot spot is to cover with either just a normal, so I've got some bits and pieces here, what we call an island dressing. So I would first say, give it a wee wipe down with a little saline wipe. Most first aid kits have these, probably not quite as big as this. It's just like a little square, like saline kind of wipe. Give your foot a wipe down with that. Give it a clean up, just in case there is any grit or anything like that that might be causing a problem. And if you have an island dress plaster, which is just like the little plasters that have got this like stretchy woven material, as that's a good way of just dealing with it, just putting it on so you're covering the area and cushioning it. Something like that the podiatrist used, the pink fluffy stuff, is this is when this is great for. You feel an area of a hot spot, is just put a bit of this on over the area and it cuts down the friction, gives a bit of cushioning. And if you cover it a little bit of tape, it should stay well in place, unless your foot's soaking wet, and that's never a good thing for anything. The other thing which are absolutely fabulous, and I do harp on a little bit about them, are the Engo blister prevention patches. So it's all going to look backwards now. Just a little blue patch. It's really great stuff. These actually stick to your footwear. So where I was saying on that patch that you could see, the chances are this person's going to get probably blistering in that area because that's where they wear hard. You would just take the backing off of that, put it on there like that, and it just cuts down. So the great thing is they last the lifetime of your insole. So as long as that's stuck on, it lasts 6 to 8 months. So they're actually really, really good value for money. You're not sticking stuff on your skin. So you're protecting your skin as best as possible. So if you were to feel a hot spot and you had one of these, I would say straight away, put it on the insole to the area that you're feeling it. If you don't, then you're lucky enough to have some fleecy web, use that. And if not, cover it with, not the paper from nine, but the island dressing, which most first aid kits will have one of these simple island dressings. What I would say is don't put a Compeed on. I know it sounds very controversial, but like anyone that knows me will know that it's not, Compeed is fantastic when it's used appropriately. And what Compeed is manufactured for, and actually read it, is blister healing, not blister prevention. So it's a whole different ball game. So if you put a Compeed on a hot spot or a blister that's just starting, or even before as blister prevention, as time goes on and the more you're walking, you're putting a lot more pressure on your feet. And it, you know, you're putting a huge amount of pressure on your feet and you're doing a lot of miles in the yomp. What seems to happen is that the Compeed becomes almost welded onto the foot. So it almost like becomes much more gluey, much more sticky, and there's just no movement in it. So if you do get a blister behind that and the skin can't move around it, it becomes extremely painful. So, and when you do try to remove it, unfortunately it takes a few layers of skin with it, which the pod squad have all had experience of, and it's not nice. An island dressing won't do that to your skin. It won't rip off layers of skin as well. It will protect, you know, because the blister's not being stuck again, you know, it's got nothing sticking against it. So it's protecting the skin as best as possible. Once, if you're unlucky enough to get a nasty blister and you're at home, a compede is the best thing for healing it, but when you're at home with your feet up and not got another 28 miles to do, like, is definitely the time to wear them. So stop, protect the area, as I say, with just an island dressing or a bit of fleecy web or an engo or something like that. And if it carries on getting painful, get somebody to check from your team later on when you've got a bit more time. So there we go. I hope that makes sense.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Sounds like people might be getting very familiar with their teammates' feet.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And use your training time too as well. You know, like, check each other's feet. I think it's about realizing that, yeah, start to love your feet. Don't look at them as, ooh, they're disgusting. You know, they're amazing. You know, all of us, you know, are lucky enough to be able to walk around, enjoy seeing that. And it's our feet that gets us there, you know, and it's about protecting them. And, you know, it's a lot, we ask a lot of our feet doing that, the kind of mileage that the yomp entails. So even training, you know, the amount of miles that they're training, it's put a lot of pressure on their feet. So be kind to them.
Great advice. So worst case scenario, well, not worst case scenario, but you have a blister on the yomp. What should you do? You're nowhere near a checkpoint. There's no medics around. What should you be looking at?
Right. Obviously, if the blister's intact, therefore the head of it's still there and it's well, if it's really, really swollen, you might have to consider like getting that pressure away. So it is about sort of unfortunately bursting it, but it's about having the right equipment, isn't it, to burst it. And then what you, if you do have a burst blister, you want to again clean it. So again, your saline wipe, this time if it, the skin's off, whatever, apply some antiseptics, so something like Savlon. This is like a wee dinky tube of Savlon that I'm allowed to mention. Superdrug does them. 3 for the price of 2. Like, so we just, so it's not a huge thing to carry around in your first aid kit, but your antiseptics would be good. And then again, just cover it with the island dressing. So, and just get, I think if it's on an area you want to try and take a bit of pressure off, if you are familiar with chiropody felt, if you've got a bit, it's just about, you know, it's using that that you can take cut bits out of. So say if it was in the middle of your, the sole of your foot, here we go, this is Jill with our scissors again, obviously. You can cut a little U out. So therefore the pressures, and stick that on. So the blister would be in the middle and that would take the pressure off. It's about offloading pressure. Keeping it clean, keep it covered. And hopefully you, there might be, if it again gets it, keep it and just keep changing the covers and keeping it clean the whole way until, and hopefully it will just sort itself out if you can keep the friction off of it, sort of thing. So the choices, the thing is, Google and YouTube and everything have lots of different techniques for using chiropody felt, chiropody padding and stuff like that. So definitely would say if you are aware now of an area that gives you problems, the chances are that's the area that's going to give you a problem or a blister on the yomp. So it's finding out why that's there now, dealing with it, and hopefully knowing how to deal with it on the day as well. So yeah,
so keep it intact as much as possible. Yeah. Cover it with island dressing.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? That sounds like
it's called dressing. An island dressing. Yeah, it's just yeah, these, it's just like one of these self-adhesive small dressings. So yeah, they just kind of look like these. It's just an adhesive dressing. So this bit inside here is a bit of sterile kind of gauze that is non-adhesive, so it won't stick to the blister, you know, and rip the head off. But the tape around it will hold that in place quite comfortably. So as I say, yeah.
So in what situation would you recommend bursting the blister, for lack of a better word?
No way, it's like, never if possible. But yeah, if it is so fluid filled that you know, it's like really, really raised up with a lot of fluid in it and a lot of pressure on it, and you can't get the pressure off of it in any shape or form. But if you are to burst it, then obviously you want to have something sterile, so a bit of sterile gauze to kind of clean it, and you want to keep it as clean as possible. So you want to kind of clean it afterwards, the saline wipe, as I said, a bit of antiseptic on it and a cover on it. So, and again, don't use a Compeed at this time, because if you're carrying on walking, it will start to weld to the skin. So it's about short-term first aid on the yomp, not long-term fixes, really. So, yeah, it's just getting you to the next stage to redress, to reevaluate, then move on, sort of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember this, Gillian, but about 5 years ago, we made a foot care guide together.
Yeah.
With another colleague at the charity. That foot care guide is at the top of all of your weekly emails. You can download it, you can print it out. If you'd like, we have little physical copies you can put that fit in your wallet. If you'd like one of them, let me know and I'll pop it in the post. But I found them really useful, full of lots of good information and advice. And so at what point should you see a medical team? Gillian, like, how do you know when it's got to the point that you just can't go on and
can't go on? It's probably at that stage whereby it's been, and I would probably say if it's been a very large blister that you have felt had to be popped because it was so large, I would go and probably get that checked out by a medical team to just make sure that there isn't anything dirt wise or infection got into it, so they can maybe just clean it out and protect it a bit better. If a blood-filled blister, where the blisters become so intense, so thing is that you can actually see signs of blood under the blister, that pressure has got so much that actually the friction has got so high and the rubbing's got that you've actually gone a few more layers into the layers of skin than a normal blister would, so therefore blood started to build up in it. So I would say to go and see medical team there. If there's any sign of redness going up your foot from the blister, that's potential spreading infection, and it can happen really quickly. You kind of think, okay, it's only a little blister, it'd be fine, but infection can happen really quickly, and especially when the environment isn't great and you're constantly getting rubbing after, if you know what I mean, that you're still putting that same shoe on or whatever that's irritating it. So it is about, if it really feels quite hot, red, inflamed, as I say, any signs of infection like that, or the skin's just lifting right off, it's probably worth getting checked out, to be honest. So, or if your plaster size just won't gonna fit it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then just to everyone, don't be afraid to use the medical team. They're there to keep you going, to get you round, essentially, to make sure everyone gets, as many people as possible, get round the full 54 miles. So take advantage. Don't think, oh, it'll be fine. Go see a professional, go see someone who knows what they're talking about, and just get it checked out.
Yeah.
And earlier, Gillian, you mentioned wet feet. We all know there are some wet parts of the yomp, the infamous beanie bog. What would you do if your feet do get wet?
Obviously, what we probably talk about every year is have plenty of socks. Make sure you're changing your socks regularly, like drying off your feet. There are times when I think feet just get so wet and they become we call it maceration, and it's just like you've lain in a bath far too long and that's your skin's gone that kind of white soggy way. I would say if you get to a checkpoint and your feet are like that, use the time while you're having food and all the rest of it to let your feet air and dry out, just let the skin kind of dry out a bit. If you're fortunate to have some salt with you and a bit of water, a bit of salt water sometimes helps dry out them as well, but it's not as finding time to do that kind of thing. But definitely if your feet feel soggy and wet when you get to a main checkpoint, take your socks off, take your boots off, let your feet air, just let them dry out naturally a little bit as well, because if your skin's that rubby wet way, it's very vulnerable. So if you overly dry it or rub it, you could rip it. And that it sounds awful, but it again is it's something that has happened. Your skin's like almost ripped off because it's that vulnerable and wet. Comes, this sounds like a horror story. It's like it's shit. But yeah, use your that time whereby you're going to be sitting having a meal, having a hot drink or whatever, to let your feet dry out, and then find some dry socks, get them on, and you and then put your boots on last minute as you're leaving again, sort of thing, because there the chances are your boots are quite wet, so especially after beanie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's where having a support team can becomes mm-hmm. invaluable, because they can have spare shoes, they can have spare socks,
definitely.
Towels, etc., anything you need. So if you don't have a support team yet, I would recommend trying to recruit some poor soul to follow you around the Scottish mountains at God knows what time in the morning.
Tell them they'll love it. Being a support team's great.
Exactly. So you got involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so we have got around the Yomp. There have been some casualties along the way. There may be some blisters that you've got, but you made it. You got your bronze, your silver, your gold medal. What would you do next? How would you look after your feet in the hours, days, weeks post Yomp?
Rest. It's about, you know, getting your feet will probably be much more swollen by the end and stuff like that. So you need, you know, get your feet elevated, get that excess fluid off. If you are unlucky enough to have blisters, salt foot, you know, salt water baths and stuff like that are very good for keeping them clean, keeping them dry. If you are having to put a pair of shoes on, unlucky, that's what to say, a pair of nice soft shoes, you know, lightweight trainers, something that's nice, roomy, that's not going to rub too much or whatever on the sore bit. Keep any blisters covered with a sterile dressing. If the skin is ripped right down, what we call de-roofed, that's when a compede comes into play. Put one of them on and just leave it to do its magic. Just don't touch it for a few days. Don't be tempted to keep ripping it on and off and stuff like that. But really, it's just about get your feet up and get the weight off them and don't do any more walking for a week or so. But it is remembering as well that throughout the Yomp, if your feet are sore, like it can start affecting your knees and your hips and stuff like that. So really, if you can get your feet right now, the chances are you might not end up suffering with a sore knee, a sore hip on the Yomp, because you will throw your weight differently. You will start to walk differently when you're tired as well. That it starts, you, it's knowing that you start walking very, very different when you're tired. So therefore you do start putting different strains on your feet and your hips and your knees. So just time on your feet now will pay dividends, like for the Yomp. And just, as I say, knowing your target areas, the areas that give you problems when you're out on walks now. So, and figuring out what's causing them. That's it, yeah. But things like, I was actually said to Amy though, I have a fair amount of fleecy web. If anybody is needing some or wanting some, I'm happy to send out for a donation to the ABF. We can maybe get a little bit extra pennies in the pot, sort of thing. There is some here. I've got different bits and pieces. I'm happy to make up a little foot care kit, but I would definitely say, ideally for the Yomp, I would recommend a few island dressings, some saline wipes. They're all quite flat. They're not bulky items. You know, it's not like it, and they're not weighty, but they could definitely help. A small tube of antiseptic, but again, it's a great thing to just even have in your kit bag. So if you fall and graze an elbow or something like that, if you clean it out and put a bit of antiseptic on, you can prevent a lot of issues. So that, a little strip of fleecy web or cut into shapes, and a pair of scissors. There we go. Ooh. And if you like them, the Engo are definitely something that are so super thin and dead easy to carry without causing a problem. the type of tape we use. Now, I will talk about quickly, sorry, I should have said taping toes is if it's something you do and you find comfortable, great, but it's not something I would recommend to do just for the sake of taping your toes. If you don't get issues with your toes, don't start taping them. So, but if you do kind of think taping toes will help, a sort of a weave stretch tape, which is called Hyperfix, which is one we use, and it's much more stretchy than the sort of, the rigid kind of tapes. The zinc oxide tapes, that's the word. So they're quite rigid and no stretch. So after 20 odd miles, you're going to feel, even 10 miles, you're going to feel that your feet maybe swell slightly. So if your feet are swelling and you've got rigid tape on your toes, I have seen it, and I've seen it more often than I like, is that wrapping anything around your toes can potentially cut off the circulation of your toes. I've seen somebody who's taped their little toes so tightly that their toenail has actually come off because the toe's been just so swollen, it's actually pushed toenails off. And so be very, very careful with taping toes because of the amount of swelling that can happen because of the distance you're doing. And also it's a 24-hour period for a lot of people, if not slightly longer, bless some people, by the time you get up, you've had your breakfast, you've started at the starting line and all the rest of it. It's a long, long time to be on your feet and your legs, and your feet will swell. And I'm sorry, by silver, they will ache. They will be sore and they will be painful. But it's just about the mindset of realizing, as long as get your support team to check them over for you. Like, you have a look at each other's feet, check for kind of signs of redness or blistering or ripped skin or bleeding, you know, anything like that, toenails falling off. It all happens, unfortunately. But have a wee check of each other's. And you know, there's one thing about the yomp, be it your support team or just somebody else, somebody who's sitting beside you will do it for you as well, because you're all there for the same reason. Like, you know, don't think you can't ask somebody, mate, would you have a wee check on my foot? I'm not quite sure about this. If you can't see it yourself, everybody's really lovely. Like, there's so much support all around that it doesn't necessarily need to be people you're with that can give you that support. You know, everybody's there to help you. That's the thing. So, and don't be scared to ask or just check. Just really, really look after your feet now and throughout the day, sort of thing. Anyway, I'm a bit too passionate about feet.
Not a bad thing. So, I mean, you all heard it here. If someone next to you at the yomp asks you to check their feet, then please just check it. And ask them to do it in return, you know, help each other out.
Yeah.
We have had one question from Lance, who has asked, and I'm assuming you're talking about the list of materials that Gillian just talked through. Would you mind popping me a list of all the materials you just went through?
Yeah,
you recommend people have in their kit list, and I can just include that and send it out to everybody.
No problem.
Brilliant, thank you.
No problem.
And then before we move on to all the other questions, do you have any other advice for people doing
the is just, as I say, is just being aware now what your problem areas are and just asking for help now. And so I'll try, if I do see a question on Facebook about feet, I do try to answer it. Like I was getting told off for answering once today. It's just, as I say, just don't be scared to ask. That's one thing on the yomp, is we found quite a lot of people would come and queue for the pod squad to check their feet. Whereas I think actually if people realise that actually that's something anyone can do, is have a quick check over of feet, it probably would save you a lot of time. Because if you're standing queuing for things like getting feet checked or that, and you're cooling down, everything starts to seize up a little bit more. So it's about keeping moving, use the resources around you and think. But yeah, and spend the best money you can or whatever, or find what fits you. Socks are an individual thing. If you find a sock that suits you and you find comfortable, buy five or six pairs of them. get them washed, get them worn, use them. Don't just keep them for the yomp. Use them as your everyday sock, as I say. Use your boot as everyday. It's not, and you know, and if you see that your insoles are starting to wear out, quite often any good name of boot, you can buy new insoles. So it might just be a new insole you need. But an insole that's got holes in it and worn right through is going to cause you jip as well, because it's just going to like, so just look at the equipment you've got and make sure it's in the best condition possible. So
yeah. Great, thank you. So we will go through a few of the specific questions that we've been asked. I did keep checking Facebook every now and again today to see if there were any that I could ask, and every time I saw one, Gillian had already got there ahead of me and answered it.
Sorry.
We will go through them quickly because I thought they were actually really good questions that people might have missed on Facebook, or people who aren't on Facebook might appreciate. So Lorna asked if there is anything she could do to avoid cramp in her toes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on this. Sometimes cramping toes is due to that you start to claw your toes. So you start to get, you feel a bit unstable and you start to claw your toes. And it tends to, so by clawing your toes, it seems to cramp up a little bit. Sometimes that can be that your foot's sliding a bit too much in your shoe or your boot. So you tend to grip to kind of hold them on. Just like when we wear flip-flops or slip-on shoe, we tend to grip our toes a little bit more for holding them on. So have a look at your lacing. Make sure your foot's not sliding forward. So definitely try the heel lock lacing for boots and that, so you're holding your foot secure in the back as well. Sometimes it could be that you've got quite a wide foot at the front. So you've got what we call a wide forefoot and it's getting pinched a little bit. Your toes and everything's getting pinched into the toe box. So just, again, if you take out your insole, you can see that if your toes aren't too close to the top end at the end of your boot, you can see where your toes are lie on your insole, which is the bit that's in your boot. And it might just be that you need to adjust your lacing to open up the forefoot of the boot, just give yourself a little bit more room in that area. So, or it might be as well that your hydration level is not great as well, which is another thing that can cause cramping. And it sounds daft, you usually expect that in calves and stuff like that. And it might be, I don't know, she's maybe gone on a long walk and not had enough fluids. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's the only other thing you were cramping and stuff like that to consider is your hydration. So,
and there is actually a little bit in one of the training guides coming up about hydration. It can go both ways. You can, you know, you can not drink enough and you can become dehydrated, or you can drink too much, and that in itself causes issues. So definitely keep an eye on how much you're drinking. Have a look in the training guides for the advice given there, because it's really useful. Right, thank you, Gillian. On to the next one. So Laura has asked how to prevent blisters on your little toe.
Okay. Blisters on little toes are usually either that, again, it might be the sock seams. Like that, what we're talking about, these little knotted edges are like a nightmare for causing blisters on little toes. So just watch them. And if they are, again, wear your socks inside out, so you get the smooth part of the sock on your foot and not the bumpy bits. Also, it could be just that, again, it's a wide forefoot again. So lacing for a wide forefoot can thing. Again, the foot's falling, you know, blisters on toes is quite often that the toes are bashing at the top of the boot. So everything's sliding forward and it's bashing all the time. So the fleecy web can work really, really well as a protection measure. So if you know you tend to get blisters on little toes, is you can cut this to kind of wrap around little toes and give you prevention on that way. Or if you want, it's like, the angle blister prevention patches can be put on the side and top of the boot around where the little toe area is, and that kind of stops rubbing that way as well. So, but yeah, little toes, it's often just because of how our little toes sit. Like most of us will probably, if you look, your little toe probably tucks under slightly, so it tends to get rubbed on the edge. And a lot of it is just about that the boot maybe isn't quite wide enough. So that's it. although they feel set. And I think the girl said, you know, her shoes, and it was further down the line that she was getting the blisters. So it's probably just looking at a prevention measure. So maybe just having the toes covered, knowing that, you know, somewhere down the line she might end up with blisters. So the thing is, though, with that, if you know you're going to potentially get a blister in that area, is protect it beforehand. Don't wait for it to happen. So, you know.
That leads quite nicely on, actually. So Celia has said that she's got these little thin silicone tubes for her little tattoos and constantly rubbing. Are there any issues with wearing them?
No. Lots of people choose to wear, like, the silicone, like... I did have one somewhere. It's like a little silicone tube for like toe caps. They work really, really well. Some people I have found other find that they might slide and that, but if it's something that you use, carry on using it. And definitely, I think there was one guy one year had one on every single toe. Like, he came and it was like 10 of them. Like, and he was like, they're great, I love them. Like, you know, and it is about finding what works for him. But yeah, the silicone caps are really, really good. Again, because you can take them off, air your toes, you'll give your feet a bit of breathing space when you're kind of resting, dry everything down and then put them back on, sort of thing. So yeah, definitely. I'd watch, talking about that, brings me into, just remember the things like talc, and that if you're used to using it, I would say okay, but it will clog. And if your feet are sweaty or wet, which as we've already discussed they can do, talc can go into little like clumps and almost like clay like. So if you kind of get that damp and clay clusters kind of in behind toes and round toes and that, or even on your face, it can become cause an issue and can become a problem. So I would definitely say probably avoid talc for a drying agent as well, as much it just tends to clump as well. So especially the amount people tend to chuck over. So if it's not, you know, just have a micro towel type thing, just dry off naturally, just pat and just let the air into them, will dry your feet a lot better than something like talc will.
Brilliant. That was actually one of our other questions from Sarah. And then we've got one last question here from Rona. What are your views on sock thickness, thinner socks with liners or thicker socks?
There, this is a cop-out, it will sound like. It's purely preference. It's what's your personal preference. I was speaking to another podiatrist today and asked about his top tips, and he said that he would say a liner sock and then a sock, like the walking sock as well. Other people just prefer a thicker sock. Some people prefer double layer socks, but it's really about what suits the individual. I wouldn't say, oh yeah, double layer work, because some people find them really awkward to make sure that the inner layer's like nice and smooth and in the right place and stuff like that. Some people do find an inner layer and an outer layer works better. There's no great evidence that the two layer system cuts down the shear any more than just making a really good fitting pair of good walking socks would. But I'd definitely avoid things like high nylon socks, you know, like probably the best example is, you know, like a football sock type, that they're really kind of tight and high nylon. They, not advisable, I wouldn't say. Like, they definitely don't cut down any friction, that's for sure. So, but the other thing is, if you are used to a sock type, just stick to it. I remember, just as an example, one of the first jumps I did, there was a group of gamekeepers that changed their socks. They wore like a wool, a wool type sock daily, had no issues, obviously walked hills basically for a job, and decided to change the socks on the night of the jump. They bought some from the stall like there, because they thought it would be a good idea to change to double layer socks, and every one of them ended up with blisters, because it was new, one, it was new socks, and two, their feet weren't used to that type of material. So really, socks is personal preference. Just find what suits you and buy 6 or 7 pairs of them. So yeah.
Oh, those poor gamekeepers.
Sorry, what was that?
I said those poor gamekeepers.
I know. Oh, they were, what a shame. Every single one of them were in seeing us. So, like, and none of them could understand until we found out that it just changed something simple like socks just right at the last minute. So, you know, if it works for you, don't change it. You know, even you know, with the advice I'm giving you, if you kind of think, well, actually that works for me, then don't go changing, you know. So I'm only here to give advice. I'm not telling you that this is what you should be doing and don't do anything else, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the take homes, both from listening to you and from listening to Neil a few weeks ago talking about training, is that, you know, use what works for you, but practice in it. You know, don't rock up to the Yomp with new hydration sachets and new shoes and new socks. You know, use it now and practice now. And then you won't get any nasty surprise on the day.
Exactly.
A couple more questions that have come in. So you've mentioned lacing a few times.
Yeah.
Do you have any videos or resources for different types of lacing that you could share with us?
Yeah, I will find some. Yeah, it's just the one that I've found it works amazing is what we call the heel lock technique. And probably, I don't know if anyone ever has wondered what that little extra eyelet on their trainers for. You know, the one above the top one. Well, that's for what we call heel lock. And it's amazing. And it's just not a lot of, there's a few people and a lot of runners know about it, but a few don't. But as I say, with using heel lock, you are securing your foot right back in the shoe where it should be. So your forefoot's not bashing forward. Anyone who suffers from bruised toenails or lifted toenails and stuff like that when they're going downhill, it's basically because the foot's sliding forward in their boot or their shoe and just bashing at the front. By using the technique, lacing it so that your heel's held back into the heel, you're not getting that sliding forward motion. You're not getting that bashing on your toes. So yeah, I've got a couple of videos of how to do that, and I will find some wee pictures of lacing techniques. It's all fun. It's only taken me till 5 years ago to discover them, to be honest. It's a lot of this has been a real learning curve for me as well. Blisters, because it's an acute thing, isn't something that we deal with that much on a daily basis, sort of thing. So it was a bit of an eye-opener the first couple of yonks anyway, that's for sure. So
yeah, every day is a school day.
Oh yeah, indeed.
And one more question from Simon, who sent it in by email. He says he's got some hard bits of skin on his feet. Can he just buff them away himself, or should he go see a podiatrist? I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be.
I would honestly say if you've got hard skin and calluses, go and see a podiatrist, and then between now and the Yomp, use an emery board to kind of gently file that down daily and just moisturize and keep it under control. You know, what can happen with corns and calluses is that they're so hard that actually underneath you can start getting blistering underneath, which the pictures I put up earlier today on Facebook was a lad that announced it was quite a thick callus on top, and he was complaining, and it wasn't until I reduced it down, I was like, you've got a great big blister underneath this. You know, so and that's often what happens on the Yomp, is people are coming and say that bit's really sore and there's quite a large callus, and you know that there's probably something rumbling underneath. So if you've not got that issue on top, you hopefully, you know, you can kind of manage the issue underneath a lot easier. But a blister under a thick callus is a really hard thing to deal with in the Yomp situation. So, you know, because you haven't got the time or skills you've got the skills, but not if you're out on your own, like, you know, 6 miles in and it's bothering you, sort of thing, to try and pare down hard skin. You know, it's maintaining your feet. So going to a podiatrist and just getting them checked over, getting advice is probably worth it. Anyone with a birthday between now and the Yomp, like, ask for a gift voucher.
Happy birthday.
All right. Here, go get your feet done. Which, again, is, I was going to say that my new boss has offered, and I was saying to him, I did put a post up that we're going to offer free foot care treatments, well, for a donation for the ABF the week before the Yomp. So you can come and get your corns, calluses dealt with, nails sorted out and that the week before, the Sunday before the Yomp. If anybody's wanting to take that up, just give us a message. We'd love to see you. We've like a new boss is a pod squad member as well, and might have a few little freebies sitting around for you. But a lot of say to your podiatrist what you're doing. You know, as I say, they might be able to help you out with some advice and that as well. So they might be able to show you the points that you're going to have to be aware of and how to deal with them on the day as well. They're full of good advice.
And if people did want to take you up on your really kind offer, thank you, of free foot checks for a donation, how should they, what's where do you work, what's your company called, how can they get in touch?
It's called St Andrew's Podiatry in St Andrew's, and you'll find us on Facebook or whatever, but I can put another link up as well, sort of thing. But yeah, we'd happily be able to do that. And you know, it would be nice to see a few folk in that local as we're not coming up on the Friday night to do it. So
no, brilliant. So we'll make sure that we share links to St Andrew's on Facebook in the emails. And don't forget as well, Gillian offered, she had a few bits of kit looking around.
Yeah, I've got the little foot care kits that we had a couple of years ago gave out, that's got a little bit of information on how to deal with it, with all a packer with a little bit of fleecy web, some tape and bits and pieces as well. And I think some of them have even got a little pair of scissors in them still. So I've got a few of them that I'm quite happy to send out. It's just the cost of a large first class stamp type thing is, you know, and as I said, either a wee donation towards ABF and we can raise a little bit of funds that way. Anybody looking for anything specific, they can either message me and I can see if I can get it for you. The Engle blister prevention patches are available online, or again, it's something I can help you with as well. If you need, like, you want me to send you out a couple, then I can sort that out as well. So, but yeah, I definitely, as I say, anybody that's wanting a wee foot care, I'll put up maybe something on Facebook or you can aim it and I'll just deal with them and get them sent out to folk. So just send me a private message and I can get it sorted. So
brilliant. And Gillian is in the Yomp sock. Her name is just Gillian Mitchell. She's got a little blue background with a sunflower on it. Or you can send me a message, Amy Kenyon, or Yomp at soldierscharity.org, and I can connect everybody up. So I think that is it for questions. This is your last kind of 30-second warning to get any final questions in on the chat here. But just while we give people a second to do that, I just want to say a massive thank you, Gillian.
No problem.
It's by far, foot questions are by far the most common questions we get, and it's great to have you here professionally answering them for us.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
No problem. I'm going to miss coming up. I do love the atmosphere of the Yomp, and I think it's so well supported everywhere, you know, from obviously the team at ABF, from all your outside agencies that come in and organise stuff, and I know how much organising goes into it, and I love the atmosphere of it, I really do. It's, you know, it's definitely worth it. But as I say, anyone new, don't be afraid to ask anybody, like, you know, everybody's there for the same reason. It's about enjoying it and, you know, making connections, making friends type stuff. You know, everybody's there to help each other. And anyone that says that won't look at your feet, they're lost. A quick check over could save somebody a lot of bother. That's all I would say. So
brilliant. Lance has said that he would love a foot care kit.
No problem.
Lance, if you can, he says he's on Yomp Sock. Lance, if you could message Gillian directly, that would be great. Or send drop Yomp at soldierscharity.org an email and I can help put you in contact. Other than that, there's no more questions, just everybody saying thank you to Gillian.
No problem. Thank you everybody for listening. I hope that somebody gets something from this. But I'll definitely get the lacing stuff sorted out because it's key I really think lacing is something that can make a big difference to footwear for everyone. So, but I'll get that sorted.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. And I'm sure we'll speak to you either at the next Q&A or at the Yomp.